I had a word from the Lord not very long ago, because I feel there's a real change of the season in this country. I think the atmosphere is changing. I think we're in a new season, particularly in church as well. I think we're in a new season. And the word was quite simple. Are you willing to put the professionalism of your past behind you and be an amateur in the new work that I'm doing? And that's quite profound, because we're on a bit of a journey, and I think we're all on a journey. Anna, do come up. I mean, Anna and I are sharing this day next on Saturday.
Do you know, I want to thank you for your welcome too. We had such a welcome at the 8 o'clock this morning at the door. It was just wonderful. Mm. And then we had coffee and cake after that. And then we went to the 9 o'clock service. That was eggs and bacon. Ooh. And, actually, we had a boiled egg and toast at 7. So, and you've just welcomed us. You know, the presence of the Lord is here. You are such a loving church family. You know, the way you greet us, the way you talk, the way you share with each other. I really want to bless you in that.
Thank you.
I can tell that you really are following the Lord. And you know, he's been challenging us enormously. You know, we're all like disciples, aren't we? You're following Jesus. Even if you just are seeking him, it's like you're following him. Even if you just thought about him yesterday and you think, I'm beginning on my journey of faith now, we're all together following him. We're all at different stages, whether you've known him for 60 years or just 6 minutes, we're all on that journey with him. So certainly next Saturday when we come, Rob and I have got our L plates on, even though we've followed the Lord since the 60s. He is challenging us. He's taking us a little step further. And I think Rob and I are very aware that you could be much further ahead than we are, because you've been out in the marketplace. We've been in the church for such a long time. But you've been out in business and in work and in the streets. And you could be further ahead than us. But together, I think, next Saturday, it'll be a lovely little journey that we'll go on corporately. Anyway, we're going to look forward to it greatly. Thank you.
I almost wanted that last frame up, because I want to bring together two little phrases, and one is in your notice sheet. It's out of the box. I want to, from these accounts that we've just read, there's a thread running through it that I've just named out of the box. And in that last few words of that gospel reading, Jesus was out of the box. He saw the faith of Cornelius and said, I've never seen such faith, even in the house of Israel. Jesus is in the box, as it were, of Israel. Is it up there? Yeah. I've not found faith like that, even in Israel. He was amazed. Out of the box, here was a Roman soldier expressing faith that he'd never even seen in Israel. So out of the box, we'll take a thread of out of the box through this journey. The other little heading, if you can spot it, is only a link. Out of the box and only a link. And there will be, this is lifting the lid on it. Somebody said this is a prequel to next Saturday. I thought, never heard of a prequel, never mind. We'll do a prequel. So this is a prequel. I'd call it an advertisement, to be honest. I think it's another way of plugging something on the notice sheet. So welcome to this. Only a link. And out of the box. Actually, we're all people who are out of the box, because most of us here have had to step out of a box at some stage in your life. I mean, I've moved house so many times, it's literally boxes. You pack everything up in boxes in your life. If you haven't moved very much, I'll tell you that's what you do. And then you move and you have to take everything out of the box again. And sometimes some of us have done that rather a lot of times. No, you're all Swanage people and never moved. Okay. But we're also out of the box because we've had an experience of a faith in Jesus who was crucified for us on the cross, was buried, and came out of the box, literally the Easter Day message is that Peter went in and he wasn't there. So we've grappled with this. I don't know where you are on that journey, but it's something God brings us to, eventually to that empty tomb. He's no longer in that box. And if we keep him there, he won't be found by us, because he's not there. And sometimes we place Jesus in the box of a church building. And I know a number of people from my past who find him here at communion and struggle to find him elsewhere. So they'll come back and back and back and back to try and find Jesus in the place where they were touched by him. Anyway, out of the box and only links. I remember with huge gratitude a lovely friend of mine called Gordon. Gordon was a link in my chain of salvation. God used him. And we're going to look at Peter, we're going to look at Cornelius. But for me, Gordon was a link. I'd come back from Australia, where I'd worked for a couple of years, and met Gordon, and I heard on the grapevine that he was the head of the God Squad. Now, in those days, I wasn't actually very keen on the God Squad, Gordon and I were both atrociously competitive squash players, and it happened that I was playing him in a match. He was playing for a different team, and I'd had this very amazing time in Australia and got quite fit. And this chap had played squash at quite a reasonable level, and he didn't get a point. But I saw that he had something I wanted. I'd got what I wanted. I wanted to thrash this man. But I saw in his life something that I wanted. I had no idea what it was. And he was a link. I look back, he was a link in the chain of my salvation road, as it were. And he did a very small thing. We were in the changing room, and I was hurrying to get away. And he said, "Rob, very small thing, come and have lunch with me next week." We sat down and had lunch, and it was through him that I got invited to hear a clear message of who Jesus was. And for me, he introduced me to the personal experience of Jesus, who's alive and well and lives today and can live in our hearts. So he became a link on that journey, but I needed other links. And so on Saturday, we're going to realize that actually we're only a link. We're only a link. So I'm very grateful for him. Only a link and out of the box. So Jesus has this out of the box moment where he sees this centurion. He has In his humanity, this is unbelievable, to see a centurion from Rome having this faith. And Peter has the same experience, really. He gets this invitation, which we had read to us, by three friends of Cornelius. Come, I want to hear what you've got to say. Acts 10 says this: "We've come from Cornelius, the centurion. He's a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people." How did that happen? What was his journey? I've often wondered this. What was his journey? Well, my take is this, and you don't have to believe this or follow it. It doesn't really matter. But my belief is that Luke, as an author, compiling his gospel and then compiling Acts. He's written two books. I've only written one. I'm writing another. My book is about Israel, and I've struggled with this issue, so I wrote about it. But I had masses of material. So I, as an author, had to gather my material to write a book which was sequential and could be understandable. And, of course, it's not, but never mind. It's at the back if you want a copy of it. But Luke writes two books, and he mentions Cornelius in Acts 10. I think he's the same Cornelius who is the centurion that we had read in the gospel, whose servant is healed by Jesus, because the similarities are so close. And so there's a link there, in my view. So it makes me wonder, because of my story, but Gordon wasn't the first person who told me about Jesus. I'd heard of him before. So in my mind, as I started writing some anecdotal stuff for my family to say, you know, what our history was as a family, I realized that actually when I was about 11, I was mad keen on cricket, and the captain of England was speaking at our assembly, our gathering, and I mean, my eyes were sparkling at seeing David Shepherd. And David Shepherd preached, I haven't a clue what it was about, although I have one line perhaps, but I think that touched me. So I look back to when I was probably about 11, the Lord was there. And I think for all of us, there have been moments where there's been little links where God has come and revealed something or said something or we've seen something or we've met somebody who was just a link, but maybe out of our box. And so my imagine goes backwards to Luke earlier, because there's another reference to soldiers when John the Baptist came. Now, John the Baptist was ministering in the area where the centurion in Luke 7 lived, up at Capernaum, and John comes in. It says the whole of Judea and Judah and all over the place went to hear John the Baptist. Was he there? Did he go? I don't know. I'm not proving it, and it's not really the point. He would have, if he did, heard of this man out of the wilderness, totally out of his box, a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. And then this is, and I've often wondered about this, it says, people asked John questions after it. Then some soldiers asked him, what do we do? That's exactly what happened in Pentecost. What do we do? And he replied, don't extort money. Don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. Was he challenged by that? Did he hear the gospel, as it were, of forgiveness, repentance? Went back home, gave his heart to whoever he understood God, the God of Israel, to be, and became devout, and all his family with him. It's quite a thought, isn't it? Only a link. Was it John the link? Was it John plus Jesus the link? Or would the link be Peter, whom we see in Acts 10? Because of what I'm saying is, we are links with people we meet. We're just a link. That's all. Might be one conversation. We were sitting on a bench in Poole, just enjoying a little bit of sunshine. We hadn't seen it for weeks. And we sat down, and another man sat near us on the bench seat, and he too saw the sun that we hadn't seen for weeks. And we had this little conversation. And he said, oh, I don't go to Christians. Christians have let me down in the past. I've been hurt by being amongst them. I don't know what we said, but we just knew it was a link for him just to say, well, it's not always like that. Just sitting on a bench, we were a link. So on Saturday, we want to come together because I think something's happening where God's going to turn the church inside out. And I'm an amateur because I've been brought up in the box of the church. I've left my dog collar there because Andrew told me to wear one at 8 o'clock. So I was dressed in my authoritative clerical collar. I noticed the pay doesn't go up. It was nothing for this morning at 8 o'clock. No, that wasn't. So I'm having to learn what it is to be in the marketplace without a dog collar. Just sort of summing up the challenge. I'm too used to being in the church. So can you see the threads? I'm out of my box here because you are in the marketplace more than me. The marketplace is where people meet, where people are. And I said this morning at 8 o'clock, it's my particular belief that the largest denomination in this country, the largest denomination are the de-churched. They've been to church, they used to go to church, they might have been brought up at Sunday school, they've heard something at school, but church doesn't work. For whatever reason. And they're out there. They're out there this morning. But we're out there as well. But maybe out there is out of our box because we're in here. God is here. His Spirit is with us. You are out there. He ain't there. Well, I want to say that's rubbish. But we're not very equipped to being out there with the gospel message. And I'm an amateur, all right? So that's what we're going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at that. So you get this amazing occurrence with dear Peter. He lives in Capernaum. His world, as a fishing world, would be centered around the synagogue. That was his culture. That was how he was brought up. He was brought up in Judaism. We'd call it rabbinical Judaism now. He can't have a meal with Gentiles. He can't have Gentiles in his home. He can't go into the home of a Gentile. That's forbidden. That's out of his box. And along come these three guys in Acts 10 that we had read for us, and said, and they say, would you come and speak with Cornelius? He's a centurion. Well, in the Second World War, had that been a message, and the SS wanted you, there was only one place you're going to go. But we might think that these people, the apostles, are 6 feet above anything that we could be. And so he's challenged. He's incredibly challenged. So what does he do? Is he qualified for this? Has he been to theological college? Did he write a book on the subject? No, he wasn't. He was a fisherman from Galilee. And he'd already been arrested by the Sanhedrin, which is the court of the Jewish people, because he was used by God to heal somebody. And he preaches a lovely message that it's God on high who's done this. And the Sanhedrin puzzle and say this. It actually says it in Acts somewhere. They realized that this man was unschooled, uneducated, and from Galilee. And that's a little bit of a disparaging comment to say. But they realized he had been with Jesus. He had been with Jesus. That's their comment. That was where his qualification came from. He's been with Jesus. That's what I've loved about just this time of worship. Jesus in the midst of us. Jesus in the midst of it. Peter has this amazing choice. Three men are outside. They want Peter to come to Cornelius. What does Peter do? Peter takes a small step. A small step for man, but a great leap for mankind. Where have I heard those words from? He took a small step and opened the door. That's all he did. He opened the door and let these three people come in. Changed the world. Quite simply because had Jesus only been the messianic Lord and Creator God for Jewish people, the rest of the world wouldn't have wanted to know. But he opened the door. Come in. And we're going to learn, I think, and I'm learning, that the gospel is not so much a preached sermon, but it's touching somebody's life at the moment they need it touching. You give a cup to a thirsty person. That was the link. So please don't think this is all going to be course notes, course materials, a regime of going out and knocking on everyone's door or bashing everybody on the head with a Bible. It's not. It's just realizing that God can release us to be the link when we are intentional about being his instruments in his hands. So those two threads, out of the box and only a link. So Peter goes, and what happens? He preaches a very short sermon, and the Holy Spirit comes, and the centurion, Cornelius, and all the members of his household just become Christians. I haven't got time for all this, but Peter must have remembered the word. Jesus said, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." And in the context of that, that's, I think, Luke 7. It's Luke 10. Jesus had said, go out, preach the gospel, speak peace. Find the man of peace. Heal the sick. Receive from them. And we're going to suddenly see that actually God has prepared people out there for us to be the link. Cornelius is the person of peace. He received the two disciples on the road, proverbially. Those disciples must have found men of peace, people of peace, doors open. Come on in, have some coffee. Welcome you, and you say peace to this house. And if your peace is there, it'll return to you, you'll know. And they'll welcome you. And if they welcome you, they welcome me. And if they welcome me, they welcome the one who sent me. It's incredible. So if you get what I'm trying to pull together, God is preparing and has prepared people out there. And we just have to say, Lord, help us to see who you're wanting us to see. Help us to recognize who we to stop with. And it's Anna's got some gorgeous stories on this. So I sort of want to pull this together, really. It's taking the one step. It's the one step. Peter just opened the door. It could just be one simple little word to somebody. It could be thank you. Oh, nobody said thank you to me before. It could be at checkout. You smile and just say, you've really helped me, or something. Oh, and there's a little connection goes on. And if you're received, then there's always the second chance. It's one small step. And I think the book's been thrown at us so often that we think it's a massive, long 3-year course. It's one small step. Are you willing to take one small step? So to next Saturday, we're going to be with Jesus in the morning. He's just going to be with us. That's the most important thing. And then we're going to look, and there's some quite challenging stuff. I think the church, as I've said, is being turned upside down. I think the nation has been shaken during this whole Brexit stuff. I think the monarch is being shaken. I think the church is being shaken. And I think the shaking is to let us go out, shaken out of our box, to reach the people he's prepared, because there's been links in their lives, and we're going to be a link to bring them to the Lord. Let's just pray. I think there might be somebody who's on their journey this morning, and you recognize that actually there have been other links. And it may be for you this morning to say, as Cornelius did, a man of faith who had put his trust in God who made heaven and earth. So, Father, come, Holy Spirit, just this morning, you're here. We open our hearts to you. Thank you that over the years you've sent people to be the link in our lives. You sent people to help us on our journey of faith. And Lord, we want to thank you for John the Baptist, to saying it's possible to receive forgiveness from your sins. We thank you for the Lord Jesus who died on the cross to take them. We thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to give us the power to live and walk with you. And so as we sang those lovely words about healing our hearts, I just pray you'd maybe put your hand on your heart and just say, Lord, come into my heart. I just want you to fill my life, to pour in your love, to heal the wounds I've received over the years, and to find your refreshment, your love, and your calling upon my life in this year. So come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.